The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Good morning, all. This is Rebecca Miller. I am guest hosting today, Project Independence and You, right here at WCWP.org 88.1. And today is going to be a very interesting show. Co-hosting today is the fabulous Mr. Otto Loos.
Whoa.
Otto, it's always great to co-host with you.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca. It's always a great pleasure to be here and part of the Project Independence program.
Yeah, thank you. You're a great ambassador for Project Independence. All your years, you've been a member and you help out whenever you can, and you are greatly appreciated from our end.
Well, thank you.
And you're welcome. Also, we have Christina Liu, who's the fabulous radio show producer. How you doing over there, Christina?
Take a bow, Christina.
So today's show is going to be a really informative one. We have Dr. Peter O'Neill, who is the chief of the Division of Dermatology at NYU Winthrop, and we're going to be talking about skincare for seniors and some other interesting topics. And then following Dr. O'Neill, we're going to be speaking with Teresa Phan, and she is a dentist with Northwell and in the Department of Dental Medicine, and we'll be speaking with her about oral health conditions for seniors, prevention and treatment, and some other interesting topics. And following that, we'll be going to Old Time Radio, and we'll be listening to The Saint, The Carnival. And then we'll be, in our final two segments, speaking with Christina Liu and Otto, all about the talk of the town. So we're going to get started now with Dr. O'Neill. First of all, I want to thank you so much for coming to the radio show today, taking time out of your busy schedule. I see you can't see, but he's in scrubs right now. So I feel like we pulled him out of the ER or a television show or something.
Well, thank you for that introduction, Rebecca. And thank you and Otto for inviting me to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. We're really happy to be talking to you about skincare for seniors because as we age, everything changes. You know, it's like we go through a lot of changes, and you know, we've also, as we get older, have also spent a lot more time in the sun.
Exactly.
So, you know, what are the things that seniors should be aware of, and really, how often should they be coming to see their dermatologist?
Well, I think the biggest thing that they should, well, let me start out with this, just talking about everything ages, and,
sure.
And that's true. In every organ system in our bodies, there's natural aging processes. Of course, it's just genetically built into us. But the skin is a little bit different because most of what we consider aging in our skin is really photoaging. It's not natural aging. It's damage that's been done over the course of a lifetime from exposing ourselves to excessive amounts of ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's the most important thing to keep in mind. And for that reason, I think it is important for seniors to probably see a dermatologist, probably at least, routinely on an annual basis.
Right.
We always recommend a full body exam just to make sure there are any there aren't any suspicious lesions or moles. Certainly, I have many patients, and I think Otto can share some of that, who I certainly see them more than once a year. But,
right.
You know, everyone's an individual, and it varies. But
I can share that, as I mentioned to you before we started the show. I could probably be a poster child for what you shouldn't do and go to dermatologist. I'm pretty regular visitor to my dermatologist, having gone through all the various skin cancer propositions. So I think what you do and what you're going to bring across here is very, very important for people to listen to and do something about, frankly.
Exactly. And I think most of us, I think, can be poster childs. I mean, I I grew up on Long Island. You know, I have fond memory of my first day in summer of fourth grade when the Arthur J. Hendrickson pool in Valley Stream opened. I was 10. It was the first time at age 10 that you were able to go to the pool without your parents.
Right.
And my best friend and I got on our bikes, rode down, spent the entire Saturday in the sun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got blistering sunburn on my shoulders the next day. So I learned a very important lesson at that young age. And we know now that one history of a blistering sunburn doubles your risk for melanoma.
Mm. Well, so, I have a lot of them then.
Yeah.
When I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Cuba for several months. Yeah. And, you know, just had a lot of time on my hands. So I was in the sun a lot and thought nothing about it.
I did my dermatology training in the Air Force. So I saw a lot of retired military. And, you know, the Navy vets were a special breed. A lot of damage.
I read about the fact that you were pretty involved with the Veterans Administration as
yes,
well.
Yes, so. Yes. I had been back in the 90s at Northport running a clinic there with the residents from Stony Brook University.
What can you do to try to minimize, where does it start? Like, you know, you get a spot on your face. How do you know whether you're going in the wrong direction here or not, that this could be cancerous or, something you better take care of?
Yeah. You know, and that's an excellent question because, you know, as we mature, we get a lot of spots. And many of them are just, you know, banal, normal sunspots or big freckles. And sometimes it isn't always easy to discern. But, you know, you want to pay close attention to something that just kind of suddenly crops up, or that's changing, particularly getting larger or darker. Certainly, if there's something that kind of looks like a sore that's not healing, it may be scaling, crusting, or a lesion that bleeds, you know, for really no reason. You're washing your face and it just starts bleeding. That's suspicious. We often talk about when evaluating moles and such, we talk about the ABCDs, asymmetry, border, color, diameter.
Right.
But we also talk about the ugly duckling sign. And what that is, you know, when you just, and you can, I want to emphasize to the listeners, you can examine yourself. And it's a very important thing to do because one of the biggest things is change. And if you're examining yourself, you're more likely to pick that up first. And if you do, then see a dermatologist and get it treated. And the whole key with skin cancers is catching them early, including melanoma. Mm. You catch them early, it's a 99% survival.
Yeah, one of the things that I would caution people is I had a situation on the top of my head, and I went through a lot of self-repair routines using a certain cream. Somebody said, I'll put vitamin E, do this, do that, do whatever. And I waited too long, and I ended up with Mohs surgery, going down four layers. Yeah. It took an all-day deal of constantly doing it.
Right.
So if you can prevent that type of thing, and I think self-repair it doesn't work too good either.
You know, self-repair for 2 or 3 weeks is a reasonable thing. You know, put some antibiotic cream or Vaseline, vitamin E oil, that's fine. But you're right. If it hasn't healed in 3 weeks or so, okay, then time to end the self-repair and get professional help.
You know, there's kind of like a feeling that when we were younger, when we were kids, and when my parents were kids, the sun wasn't as strong. And that today where, I mean, I remember back in the day when we would lay out and use oils to get nice and tan, you know, it took a while. It took a few hours, you know, or 2 or 3 hours at the beach. And then today, I mean, I do have a pool and I don't sit out at all anymore. And if I do, it's always at the end of the day, like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Which is smart.
Which is when, and the sun is still strong then. So I have been in the sun for 10 minutes where I've gotten color, I've gotten burned because I am fair. So that's a big difference. But are, you know, people, so I, like people our age and older should still be just as concerned, even though back in the day,
absolutely,
we had a longer amount of time before we actually got burnt. So I think there are people that feel like, well, you know, when I was a kid, the sun wasn't as strong. I mean, the sun was as strong. It's just the ozone layer is depleting or is being more depleted. So, I mean, the sun's as strong as it was. It's just that
exactly. It's
reaching us closer and sooner. And today, like, I worry about my kids and the
Absolutely. Fact
that they're not only in the sun, but I know one of the things that you wanted to talk about, Dr. O'Neill, is not just the sun, but also tanning
indoor
booths.
Tanning, yeah.
And people going for tans when it may be not as sunny yet. Or, I mean, I have a lot of friends that they'll go before they go to the Caribbean, or they'll just get a base tan. I'm like, you're going to a tanning booth to get a base tan before you go
right away.
What's the impact of these tanning salons?
Well, the impact is that it's contributing to the rise of skin cancers in the United States, which is truly an epidemic. We see over 5 million new cases of skin cancer every year, most of them basal cell and squamous cell carcinoma, but melanoma, which is the more deadly one, is also on the rise. And I'm certainly not going to blame all of that on indoor tanning, but it's all due to exposure, or 90% due to exposure to ultraviolet radiation,
right, which
comes from the sun. And you're right about the ozone, because that does filter the UVB rays, which are the burning rays. So the fact that the ozone layer has thinned, we are getting more UVB exposure. But UVA exposure is also dangerous and also contributes to aging of the skin. And that's the lights in the tanning salons are supposed to be predominantly UVA. But you're still getting some UVB with that. You know, I don't want to bring up too many studies, but there's one that really sticks in my mind. It was a recent study. They looked at 63 women under the age of 30 who had developed melanoma. 97% of them had exposed themselves to indoor tanning.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
So, you know, we can't say, oh, it was all the indoor tanning, but it's that it's a whole way of life. It's a whole philosophy. If you're going to for indoor tanning, you're not being smart about the ultraviolet. So you're also not being smart about it in the sun, too. So they were probably also
poking
themselves on the beach. So I can't, you know, I can't make that direct blame on the tanning. But it just makes no sense. The World Health Organization labeled ultraviolet radiation a level one carcinogen.
Wow.
That's right up there with cigarettes and plutonium.
Oh, gosh.
So, I mean, it just makes no sense to me for anybody to want to expose themselves to that level of a carcinogen.
You're right. You know, just, like we talked basal cell and squamous and melanoma. You know, somebody, like I just had it right here, and they said it was a squamous cell.
Well, you're pointing to something, but I don't think our listeners could see
my elbow on my elbow. You can get not just on your face, obviously.
Right.
Like you can get it all over your arms, your legs, your back. You know,
Absolutely. The
face is a little more obvious because people see your face.
Right.
But
that's an excellent point, Otto. And certainly, we do see way more skin cancers on the sun-exposed areas, but we do also see skin cancers on non-sun exposed areas. Just yesterday, I did a surgical procedure on someone's buttocks for a basal cell carcinoma, but even melanoma,
right?
You know, can occur in the buttocks, genital regions, bottom of your feet, and that. Which reminds me, I want to make an important point.
Dr. O'Neill, before we get to that point, we're going to take a short break,
all right?
And then we'll get back to our next segment and address those points. And just listen to WCWP.org 88.1 for some more Project Independence in You.